Good morning. It's 9:22 a.m. on October the 22nd, 2016, a Saturday. And I'm running late today because I stayed up too late last night waiting for the kid to come home. So I slept in this morning, which has set everything off by a couple of hours, actually. So I'm pretty much on track for the daily schedule. I just started 2 hours too late, which will impact cause me problems later on in the day, unless I can make up some of those hours. Probably will do short tasks today to try to catch up with where I need to be by 9 o'clock tonight. And still accomplish stuff. I've got a lot of writing to do today. I spent what might have seemed like an inordinate amount of time brainstorming the problems with Two Fire Called with John Ward last night. And I think we've got... I've identified a couple of problems that are causing me grief, and even better, solutions to those problems. So I'm really pretty excited to get back into the book. I did get 2,000 words in yesterday. That wasn't the 5,000 I was shooting for, but it was 2,000, which is better than 1,000, which is better than nothing. So, yeah, I'm pretty psyched. I've also got some direction for book three when I get to it. So I'm pretty cool with that. It was 38 when I left the house, so I'm sort of bundled up, and with the sun, it's too much. I'm sweating. It's uncomfortable. Got the coat unzipped. Got the hood pushed back. And I'm pounding along because I want to get back and get some breakfast. I did get some coffee before I left, but everything is pushed back, including breakfast. By the time we get back, it'll be brunch time. I'm not sure what we're going to do for brunch. So I was hoping that I would see a lot of brightly colored trees this morning, and while I'm seeing, boy, everything is lit up, of course, it's a full daylight out, but the trees are mostly bare. Not completely bare. There's still some foliage here and there, but it's quite subdued. What's left is less brightly colored and more brown. There's some shrubs that have a lot of red in them, but mostly there are the ones that are in the shade. Still a lovely morning. Got a lot of birds chirping. For this guy to get out of my way. I'm walking and not talking. I'm thinking about the political discussion that I made a mistake of contributing to earlier this morning. And I'm purposefully not talking about it. A, there's no point. B, it's just too demoralizing. I have voted. We have early voting here in Colorado. So I have voted. It doesn't matter. What happens now happens. I've done my bit. Thank you. Muck Post. Yes, I voted for a lot of referenda that I know are not going to pass, just because Colorado is not exactly a progressive state and hasn't really learned the lessons of the past. The taxpayer bill of rights has really gutted the economy. Well, I won't say that. I don't know that there's that direct relationship. What it has done is made it very difficult for Colorado students to get higher education, because the discretionary spending in the state pretty much dried up. And because of the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, the Tabor Amendment to the Constitution, they don't have a lot of discretionary spending to begin with. Mostly it's contributions to the highway infrastructure and the colleges, the universities, the state system. And I know I've talked about this before, but they got into a real bind with the Colorado School of Mines when the state contributions to the Colorado School of Mines dropped below 10%. And according to the Colorado School of Mines charter, once the state contributions fall below 10%, all the regulations regarding tuition caps, tuition hikes, tuition rates, they all go away. All of the state oversight gets waived once the state fails to contribute at least 10% to its general revenue budget, which caused a great deal of distress when they jacked up tuition rates to cover the shortfalls and to do the jobs that they needed to do. And the state legislator went, "Wait a minute, you can't do that." The state attorney general said, "Well, yeah, actually they can, because you didn't give them enough money. So your oversight privilege got yanked." So they've been very careful to keep, like, University of Northern Colorado, they continue to fund exactly 11%. So they don't lose control over University of Northern Colorado the same way. And the problem is that the budgets that the university is putting through aren't really sufficient to achieve the university's missions. So the price is creeping up slowly. The programs are being carved away. It's not terribly pretty. So I don't know, we'll see how this works out. We've had an election. There will be a result in about 3 weeks. I think there are only like 2 Fridays left between now and Election Day. So November 9th, we'll have at least some of the contests resolved. I don't know if we'll have all of them resolved. Probably be a more divided country because of it. Whichever way it goes. One of the challenges is education. One of the biggest challenges is education. It really is focused on the economy. But you can't do much for the economy if people don't have the skills or the knowledge to participate in an advanced economy. If you want low-skill manufacturing, you have to actually leave the country. There's very little of it left. There's some. But the larger problem with that is that the productivity benefits have accrued to the top, not to the workers. And while I've never been in favor of collective bargaining, there's an argument here. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. The teachers represent one of the largest single professions in the U.S. Teachers from K-12 up through university. They represent about 6 million workers in the U.S. And most of them have to be retrained. Most of them have to be retrained. And it's looking at it from strictly an educational technologies perspective, looking at it from what needs to happen in the classroom and how little those 6 million teachers understand about what that is or how to make it happen, how little the administrations of those institutions understand how to make it happen. How little the people in general understand what has to happen in order for them to get the kinds of education for their children that would allow them to participate fully in a post-industrial economy. Because so many of them are still caught in the industrial age economy of the 19th and 20th centuries. That's demoralizing. But what's not demoralizing is breakfast, because breakfast is right around the corner. Actually, breakfast is just through this gate, because I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.